It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone, and happy Saturday morning. It is the Mark Lloyd Show coming at you as we do every single week. I'm talking some sports. And it's a great day to be a sports fan right here on Freedom 93. And the reason I say that is because everybody listens to the show. They know that we love all the sports. We talk all the sports. But at the end of the day, it's all about the pigskin. And it's time to celebrate Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, the other two members of the Mark Lloyd Show, because we have a preseason top 25 college football poll, which now is called the Amway poll. Was that like that last year too, Seminoleville?
No, it was just the coach's poll. And
yeah, so Amway didn't sponsor it last year?
Not to my knowledge, no. I would have recognized that because you know that all they used to, well, you know, the Orlando Magic tie there, but before with the ownership.
Yeah.
I don't believe they did that last year. I think that it's interesting now that they're actually, you know, that the college football is getting into the naming process for the polls. I mean,
they can't help it.
USA Today poll, AP poll, that's all used to be standard stuff, but now we've got a moneymaker, you know?
You got to make the money. Terminus, you don't remember, I know this is a stretch me asking you this, but it wasn't called the Amway coaches poll last year, was it?
The who? The why?
Exactly. Excellent.
The why?
You know, at least he spoke to us some little bit. Colonel, are you ready to talk some football? We have a jam-packed show today. Are you ready?
Ready. Just ready for the two-minute drill, man. Ready to go.
You know what? That is. That's what it's all about. We have the top 25 college football poll that came out. We have suspensions being thrown around up in Buckeye land. We have some Florida State talk in Vegas with the over-under and how many wins they're going to have. Also, we have our Bucks report, our first Bucks report coming up in the third segment. And, of course, our fourth segment is our entertainment. And we have our entertainment segment. We also have our fitness tip and our water check. So we have a whole bunch of things to get to. But Seminole Bill, I hope that you have your tennis shoes on because we're going to be running the whole time. And I hope you're ready to step up on your soapbox because I'm going to ask you to because I'm going to get on mine right away. And here we go. What came out this past week was up in Buckeye land, the preseason number one college football team, the defending national champions. They're led by none other than Urban Meyer. We all know that. That's the head coach. Ohio State suspended four players for their opening game against Virginia Tech, one of them being Joey Bosa, who is – arguably the best defensive player in the whole country, defensive end. His brother just committed to go to – his brother's out of St. Thomas, and he's going there as well next year. He chose Ohio State over Florida State, so maybe Florida State fans might recognize the Bosa name because we were in the running for his younger brother. But so he got suspended, plus Jalen Marshall and a couple other players, all guys that were going to start for Ohio State. Like I said, the first game is against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a really good defense. So it should be a good game. Ohio State should still win. I think Vegas still has Ohio State, even with the suspensions and a 13 or 14 point favorite on the road at Virginia Tech. So that should tell you something about the firepower that Ohio State has. But the reason I bring this up, Seminole Bill, the reason I bring it up is that yes, Urban Meyer started off his press conference at the Big Ten week, you know, for the media. And addressed it right away about the suspensions. But what irritates me and what really irritated me is that nobody was asking him about the culture of Ohio State football. They were talking about how do you overcome those losses for the Virginia Tech game. So it was football related. It was not about the integrity of Ohio State football or the university. And The reason that bothers me is because of Urban Meyer's track record. One of the reasons that he left Florida is because the program was out of control. Yes, they won a couple national championships, but they also had, I think, 40 or 60 players in trouble with the law when he was at Florida. They were running wild. It was the Wild Wild West in Gainesville. He didn't care who he recruited. He didn't care what they stood for as long as they could play football. But they fielded a bunch of thugs nonstop. Yeah. But guess what? Everybody remembers Urban Meyer won two national championships with him, and everybody focuses on Tim Tebow, and that's fine. But why aren't they questioning Urban Meyer about Ohio State's culture after these players being suspended for marijuana and also for academic reasons based on his track record of what went on at Florida? Tell me that, somebody. But why are they asking about football-related questions and not the culture of Ohio State football? Yet Jimbo Fisher at ACC Media Days talks nothing about the effect of Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Johnson. It was all about what are you going to do because it seems like things are out of control in Tallahassee.
Well, we're not going to get the pass that Urban's going to get right now.
But why? Why, though? Why is he getting a pass based on what he used to do?
Remember, he was a media member not long ago when he was with ESPN. So
that's
true. He has a lot of cover there. Plus, you just don't burn one another at that level. You know a little bit about this. They're not going to burn each other right now coming into this season. Right now it's just, you know, something on the preseason that Ohio State doesn't yet have the sex appeal of what was going on with Jameis. Pardon the pun there, but just no pun intended, the whole thing of how it's set up for Jameis. And look, reality is what it is. You know, we do not have the depth of legs, even though we have FSU is what I say we. FSU has you know, had a lot of success over the past many decades, Coach Bowden and now Coach Fisher. But we don't have the depth of legs that some of these other programs have. We are still a young program compared to a lot of these other programs that are established and out there for years. They have long-standing ties with media. They have people that have graduated from their schools that are in the media, especially people down our little cousins down in Gainesville. So they can spin things the way they want to spin them. And, you know, people might think that's kind of me saying hard.
Are you happy with – so let me ask you a question then. Are you happy with – wait, should Jimbo have come out and fired back at them? What I'm talking about is that, are you happy with the way Jimbo handled everything? I mean, he handled with a lot of class. But would you have liked to have seen him? Because it's almost like they're afraid to go up against Urban Meyer. It's like, why don't you hit him with the question or write the column that his school's out of control? You do that to Spurrier, right, and he comes down and calls another press conference to say that my enemy's out there and blah, 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 and all that. And I think that makes him look bad. So I don't know. I'm kind of –
it's a tough line to walk. You know, right now we're not high on the perch. You know, no one wants any favors from us right now. We're going to be that, you know, in that second tier of the top four or five teams. So, you know, spotlight's not going to be as bright on us this year, but they're watching because of what happened. So we get the backslap. Coach did a good job, I think, handling it with a little, you know, respect, and that's the way you should do it right now. Going forward, I think you'll see, especially with Mr. Thrasher involved in IRN, I think you'll see a little more aggressive FSU to polish up the image. They've said the right things, done the right things over the past few months to put themselves in a position to get their image back where it needs to be. And that's what they need to do. They need to concentrate on that. So right now, you really can't joust, if you will, because we're not in a position to joust. We're repairing some damage that's been done, unfortunately, and perceived damage, and our enemies have enjoyed that. They've taken their shots, but I think Coach Fisher handled it the best way he could. I think, you know, the two, you know, big dogs out there, Saban and, of course, Urban, you know, because of their relationships with ESPN and some other media folks, they're going to get some passes if we don't. So
I get that. I mean, maybe that it bothers me, but I guess you're right. I'm not going to. And you know what? We always say, just win. Win shuts everybody. Go out there and
shuts
win.
Everybody up.
And it shuts everybody up. And here's one other thing. And it's all about Urban, though. It's not about Ohio State. It's about Urban Meyer. And he almost has like that SEC cloud over him and that protective shell. And the reason I say that is because there was even talk like, well, yeah, with the four suspensions, and if they did lose to Virginia Tech, sure they'd still get into the playoffs.
You're going where I was going to go.
So you're already making excuses out of that.
Yeah.
Because it's not, once again, similar Bill, it's definitely not Ohio State, and it's definitely not the Big Ten. It's Urban Meyer that gets the pass, that Urban Meyer is the one that's getting the SEC treatment on. Well, if your team has one loss, maybe they should still get in because of this. And I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Florida State couldn't even lose a game last year. And they were going to get rid of them out of it.
Yeah,
and then this year, you want to bet your you-know-what that if – I didn't hear anybody saying, well, you know, if Florida State loses a game without Dalvin Cook,
Yeah.
You know, and let's throw in the freshman quarterback, because even though we knew that he had no chance of playing, the way they said it is, and DeAndre Johnson, who will be vying for the starting quarterback job, I'm going, what are you talking about? That guy had no chance to be the starting quarterback for Florida State. But it sounded sexy by saying they kicked off, you know, a starting quarterback. It just kills me, the excuses already that they were making for Ohio State because of the suspensions and possibly losing against Virginia Tech.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that caught my attention too. And there's like, you're already throwing out there what happened with Oregon last year. A loss is a loss, guys, if you lose full strength or sub-strength. If you have suspensions, you know what? Your player shouldn't have been suspended. They're not doing what they should be doing to help your football team. If you have injuries, that's part of the game. There was several years when FSU had projected to be in the top five where they just got crushed with injuries going into it. You just have to deal with it, man. You either have depth or you don't. If, you know, teams with depth, Alabama, one of them, can weather a storm of injuries. But if you don't have it, you know, you recruited to a certain level, that's all you can get. You take your chance like everybody else. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's wins and losses. And if it shouldn't be, it should be the same across the board for every team. You know, if you're not going to give one a pass, don't give the other a pass. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Oregon's line was out. It didn't matter. You know, they lost Arizona.
But you guess what though? You know what though? You're right, Seminole Bill. But boy, it mattered. It didn't matter to anybody when Jameis was suspended against Clemson.
Correct.
It was like, they're gone. And I'm thinking,
okay. Right.
The reigning Heisman Trophy winner, the reigning national champion team, is missing their star quarterback because he was an idiot and suspended. But if they lose, they're done. But everybody else will give a pass. But when an offensive lineman at Oregon, not Marcus Mariota, but an offensive lineman that was not playing, they're going to get a pass from that. So, all right, Somerville, we got to take a break. But when we come back, though, I'm going to run down the top 25 with you. All right, let's get some thoughts. And, of course, the SEC leads all conferences. What a shock with the most teams in the top 25. We'll go over that and so much more when we come back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Martin Ward Show here on Freedom 93, the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the home of the Bucs Report. Right, Tomo Bill?
That's it.
That's right. Every Saturday we'll come at you with the Bucs Report. It's an exciting year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're thrilled to have the Buccaneers and Gene Dekaroff doing the play-by-play right here on Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. And we'll be going to some of the games, Seminoleville. They get a chance to talk to Jameis, get his thoughts on not only the Bucs, but also, of course, how Florida State's doing. Hopefully, you know, Florida State will be doing well this upcoming season. They currently, all right, drum roll. Okay, good enough. I heard you. The top 25 preseason poll came out, the Amway-sponsored poll, which we didn't know. Here we go. Florida State comes in at number eight in the top 25. Number one is the Buckeyes. Number two is TCU. Number three is Alabama. Number four is Baylor. Number five is Oregon. Six, Michigan State. Seven, Auburn. Eight, Florida State. Nine, Georgia. And 10, USC. Now, we're going to stop and look at the top 10. And what's interesting, Seminole Bill, is guess what? When the season ended last year, after the national championship was played, when we did our show the next week, I wish we could pull up the tape because I'm pretty sure we nailed the top four.
Yeah.
We had the preseason top four the week after. Ohio State, number one, I agree 100%. Suspensions, no suspensions, they're loaded, lots of players. And they have the quarterback. Great running back, Heisman Trophy contender in Ezekiel Elliott. So I think they are solid number one. Agree, Somerville?
Yeah, they've earned that based on what we just saw last season and coming into this year.
I agree. Yes, yes. Number two comes in is TCU. I agree also with TCU being ranked number two because of, once again, the quarterback, Boykin, was electrifying last year. I think that I never worry too much the offense is going to click, that the defense – was shaky at times, but that's what Gary Patterson is. I think he'll turn around the defense, and I think they're exactly where they should be ranked, the second-best team in the country. Number three is Alabama. Here's my first problem. A huge, all caps, hashtag WTF. What is Alabama doing at number three? Are you kidding me? They don't even have a quarterback. How could you rank Alabama at number three, coming off what? The shellacking they took against Ohio State? They have no quarterback. That was with the quarterback. Bill, who is their quarterback?
Survey says?
Exactly. Nobody. It's not Jacob Coker.
Doesn't look like it, does it?
He hasn't nailed it down yet.
There is no...
When it comes to that, I'm laughing. I'm like, it doesn't even make sense to me.
Just look back at 2014. I mean, just in looking through some statistics, I mean, they were 29th overall in passing yards, and that was with Blake. Rushing yards, they were 37th. I don't know what have they got coming back that's gonna. I mean, they lost a lot of solid studs.
You know what they have? They have reputation. Yeah, they have Derrick Henry. He's going to, you know, carry the ball, and we get that, one of the best running backs in the country. Of course we know, listen, we know they're good. There's no doubt about that. And because they're good and because of the talent that's there, they're a top 10 team. There's no doubt about that. But they sure as hell are not the third-ranked team in the country. I mean, that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You would think year's team was a better team than this year's team.
Yes, I agree.
With
100%. You know? Number four, so Alabama to me is way, way overrated. Number four is Baylor. I think they're overrated. How do you lose Kyle Petty, who ran your whole offense? The other guy that backed him up, we saw for like a half one time when Petty got injured. I don't even know who he is. So, yes, they have players coming back, but give me a break. You can't lose that type of important player to your team, especially the quarterback, and be the fourth-ranked team, which I will now. So I think Baylor is way, way too high.
Give you some stats that matter, Mark. I want to back you up here. Is they were ranked fourth last year with Petty as in passing yards, fourth best in the nation, and first at points for, scoring points, but 49th points against. So, like you just said, you really got to have a stud quarterback behind a stud quarterback to be able to come in ranked that high. It's just,
Maybe that's what Ohio State has. You know what I mean?
that I get. But, boy, you just lost your guy to the NFL just like we did. I mean, you shouldn't be up there unless the pollsters are trying to give a little bit of, hey, we're sorry you didn't make the playoffs last year, but here you go.
Okay, all right, here's this. This is what kills me also. The fifth-ranked team in the country is Oregon. And I'm going, how are you ranked number five when you just lost Marcus Mariota, and you nowhere nearly have the talent that Florida State has all around the team? There's just no way. Oregon, Jameis Winston led Florida State, no doubt about it, and they should, and they are exactly where they should be ranked, eighth. If they were higher than that, I would sit there and I'd be making the same argument, going, you know what, you are loaded with talent, just like Alabama, but you do not have a quarterback right now. Yeah. So you're a top 10 team, but you're not a top 5 team. You are 8th, 9th, 10th, 7th, somewhere like that. Oregon, they're counting on a JUCO transfer. They're counting on a transfer, Vernon Adams, to be their starting quarterback, who is up and down whether he gets into school. It's all over the place. So that's ridiculous.
Well, you know, they were the darlings last year, so what can you say?
I don't know. Now here's what's funny. The next ranked team, I think, is number six, Michigan State, should be ranked higher.
Right.
Remember, they just shellacked. They didn't shellack them, but they beat fourth-ranked Baylor. They barely lost to Oregon last year. They have a whole bunch of players coming back, and they're solid. So they should be ranked higher. I mean, they have their quarterback coming back too, right? Connor Cook's coming back. And so they should be higher than those other teams. So I think, personally, that they're underrated.
Got it. Yeah, I'm with you on that, too.
Seventh is Auburn. And I don't have a – I think – you know what, though? I think Auburn is a top-ten team. Now, here's why. I know they lost Nick Marshall as their quarterback. But their quarterback is a different type of a quarterback system. And their backup played – his name's slipping my mind right now – Auburn's backup quarterback that played last year at times. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster. He did show he came into some games. He showed that he could be a superstar with all the makings of it. But they don't count on him to drop back and throw the ball. It's more of an athletic position. So it's easier, in my opinion, to replace. So Auburn, I think, is seventh. I could see Auburn being sixth. I think Auburn should be ranked higher than Alabama, especially with the addition of Will Muschamp. I mean, you have to take that into consideration. The guy knows defense.
Yeah,
Florida sucks. Florida sucked every year he was there, pretty much, except for that one tenure, but then they lost the crushed leg against Louisville. But the bottom line is that their defense was always great. He just didn't know what he was doing anywhere else.
Yeah.
So eighth ranked is Florida State. Like we said, ninth ranked is Georgia. Georgia's another team that it's pretty fascinating, Seminoleville. There's no quarterbacks that are established really too much. So I think Georgia comes in with no quarterback either. They don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah,
they know they have Nick Chubb running the ball, but still, you have no quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, they always have great running backs. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, they're always going to have somebody that can carry the load. They were kind of like, in a way, Ohio State had all the three Qs, and then, you know, these guys, man, it seemed like whoever they plugged in that running back position was just going to be a stud. So they got some great running backs, and I saw an interview with Coach Rick saying that one of the guys they got coming in, or the guy that's, you know, there with them is just freaky, you know.
They're loaded. They got three, four. I mean, they have a lot of five-star running back for Georgia. Let's see. Now, USC, here's a great debate. And I know we're running out of time, but when it comes to Southern Cal, they're ranked 10th. And there's a great debate saying some people say they're overrated, some people say they're underrated. I say they're underrated. And the reason I say they're underrated is because they have the quarterback coming back.
Right.
And yes, they lost Nelson Aguilar to the NFL. They lost Leonard Williams, obviously the dominated defensive lineman, to the NFL. But, you know, you bring back your quarterback.
Totally.
You bring back, but you also, though, you have talent at the wide receiver position. You have talent on the defensive side of the ball. You have great talent that's coming in. You have at least 5-star backups to the quarterback, too, in case somebody got injured.
Right.
So I think that they're underrated, and USC should be ranked, they should be ranked higher, because some people are saying they're overrated based on what they did last year at times. And I'm going, well, you know, the quarterback is another year under his belt. He's going to be a Heisman Trophy contender, and he's got a lot of talent to throw to.
And you got like Sarkisian coming back for his second year now. I mean, he's had an opportunity to get integrated into what he's doing. He's a solid coach, really is.
Yes. No, there's no doubt about that. Real quick, 11 is Notre Dame. I guess I never know how to read Notre Dame. You think they're great, then they look awful. So they're counting on Zaire to be the great quarterback. That's why Everett Golston is now in Tallahassee. 12th ranked is Clemson, and I disagree with this. I think Clemson is a top 10 team all day long.
Yeah.
And the reason I do is because Deshaun Watson
when healthy,
is a top 5 quarterback in the country. There's no doubt about it. The guy is dynamic. And they have incredible talent on the offensive side of the ball. I know they've lost a lot of defensive players, so their defense is going to struggle. But when it comes to offense, they're going to be good. LSU's at 13, and I think that's fine. They don't have a quarterback, Sonny Bill. But they're LSU, and they got loads of talent all over the place, right?
Oh yeah, they always that team right there is a machine, just like Alabama and like some of the other ones. They recruit very well, and they do a great job of bringing great players and using them, using the talent they have.
I'm going to jump down a little bit. 14 is UCLA, and that's kind of questionable because they have no quarterback. I mean, they lost their quarterback too to the NFL, and they're counting on possibly a true freshman to start for them. Then you have Ole Miss at 15. 16 is Arizona State. 17 is Georgia Tech. Now, see, Georgia Tech, how are they not ranked higher? You bring back your dynamic quarterback. You bring back the system that nobody can stop. You bring back the team that took Florida State to the brink in the ACC championship game. So what Georgia Tech is, it's one of those things. How do you pick them to beat Florida State in the game? But when Florida State beats them, it's no big deal.
Yeah, well, they had a good run at the end of the year. They knocked off Georgia. They crushed Mississippi State. You know, two big bad SEC teams there. You know,
so I'm always baffled by that. I don't understand. It's like it's like they're just plagued because they're Georgia Tech and they're in the ACC. We're not going to give you too much credit. I know I got to go to break. 18 is Wisconsin. 19 is Oklahoma. 20 is Arkansas. 21 Stanford. 22 Arizona. 23 is Missouri, 24 is Boise State, 25 is Tennessee. Real quick, though, I know I'm running way long, but here's what kills me. All 13 of the 14 SEC teams receive votes in the poll. What a bunch of crap that is. How can you give the Gators one vote? They got two votes. Florida got two votes. What a joke that is. When you only give the Canes 16 votes. How is the Canes not up there higher, right? With a quarterback that was really coming on last year, with a 5-star backup running back. I know they lost Duke Johnson. It's all over the place. How do you have Virginia Tech not ranked with top 3-4 defense in the whole country? I mean, Senator Bill, these are questions that you need to answer during the break, but we don't have time when we come back on the other side, because when we come back, we have the Bucs report.
Bucs report, baby.
That's right. Bucs Report. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we do. We have the Bucs Report. Stay with us right here. All right, the Bucs Report Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event.
What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events conference and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93, the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this upcoming season. And here's our Bucs report. And guess what, folks? The whole crew here, we're going to bring you the Bucs report every single week. We will dive into what's going on in Buccaneer camp during the preseason, and then we'll give detailed reports. We'll give some fantastic opinions and what we're hearing that's coming out of Tampa Bay as they march towards what they hope is to be a playoff year. I think Super Bowl is unrealistic, but it's a playoff year is what they're hoping. And they're hoping that possibly famous Jameis can lead them to the promised land. So, Bill, I'm excited. Aren't you, fired up to have a Bucs report every week?
Oh, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. Heck, I envy you being down there, man, at the games. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to some of the games. There's no doubt about that. All right, so, Bill, when we start looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the weeks, we'll take a look at their schedule. We'll give some predictions out before the season starts about what we think the Buccaneers will do this year, how many wins and losses. We'll go over how we think Jameis will be as a quarterback in a little more detail other than he'll be fine. But we'll throw some stats and some predictions out there. But right now, camp is just opening up. And there's a few tidbits before we get into maybe some of the important storylines, I guess, we'll have during training camp and then leading up to the season. But two big players for the Buccaneers that it's good news on their shape. And what I mean by shape is that they're in shape. So they must be listening to the Mark Lloyd Fitness Tip every week. And that's Gerald McCoy, who's arguably the best defensive tackle over the past few years. I mean, the guy he's living up to the billing finally. But he's down 12 pounds. And they said he's down a couple percent on his body fat, too. And I think that's important, Seminole Bill, that now that because he's the type of player that he not only stops the run, but he goes after the quarterback as well. So I think that's going to help him out an awful lot, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, man. Putting pressure on the opposing quarterback is always a good thing. And, if you can get your defense off the field and give your new QB an opportunity to work his magic, then you've got a chance to change some things on the scoreboard that they didn't have going for them last year. So let's hope the rush is real and it's not hype. I think he's got a good guy on the outside there, and see if any of these other guys coming in can push some of the starters and make this a fun camp so these guys have a great defense this year.
Yeah, which they definitely need. We went over the stats last week, and they were awful. Also, for Florida State fans and for Buccaneer fans, is that Jameis Winston's at a good weight. We know his weight fluctuated or something during, once the season ended, and I guess he was eating an awful lot, and they showed that one picture of him where he had really tight shorts on and looked like he was extremely overweight, which I really don't think he was as bad. I think anybody wears those tights like that, unless you're like Adrian Peterson, you're not going to look that good. But he says he's at a great weight. He's training hard. So I think that's good news. He has the right mindset because as we get set with camp and with the preseason game coming up in a couple weeks, the big speculation is Winston versus Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon, the former NC State quarterback. That's who Jameis Winston is battling to be the number one quarterback. And I think, similar Bill, it all boils down to early on that the Bucs have to, and I think they are, and I think they will, make a commitment that, Jameis, you are our quarterback, because I think it's imperative that he gets the practice reps with the ones.
Right.
Now, we know Glennon got the practice with the first team reps for the OTAs. But I think that the Bucks can't wait too long to move Winston to the starting offense because, let's be honest, he has precious little time, I guess, basically to mesh with Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, the running backs, and maybe most importantly, the offensive line.
Right. Yeah, it's a very important step to progression in this regard is very important for Jameis to get out there, get his reps in with the guys. It's crazy how that works, and you would think it's so much easier to run at this higher level, you know, but realistically, what they're doing is they're trying to get the number one guy, who they think is going to be the number one, as much, you know, prep time as they can, especially if you got if it's Jameis, and it's going to be Jameis, as a rookie, you got to really get in there and get your feet, you know, wet, so to speak, get off the sand into the water, so you can really dive in and learn this offense. And they've got them all kind of things going. You know, they've brought in the different training, you know, for him. They talked about that
virtual,
in the offseason.
The virtual training. The
virtual
yeah.
training. You know, he's
and a new coordinator too, right? I mean,
yeah,
with Dirk Cutter.
Right. And you know what? If he wasn't going to be that guy, what's the point of having him out there tossing out baseballs to Coach Fisher at the Rays game the other night? I mean, they're setting him up to be that guy. So you got to believe they want him to be that guy. They've seen what he's done in his little, you know, mini camp, if you will, and they've been impressed by his grasp of things thus far. Now, as we get to the meat and potatoes, now we get to see if the metal meets the road like they want it to. And if so, it should be his job to lose versus his job to try to win.
I agree 100%. So we know that's probably the most important storyline, but all indications point that Winston will get those first-team reps and everything. Arguably, similar bill, outside the quarterback, we get that. The biggest disaster on the Buccaneers last year was the offensive line. I mean, they were just awful, just absolutely terrible. And the good news is that the Bucs realized that and didn't try to put Band-Aids on anything. They said, our offensive line is awful. Now we just spent our number one pick on a quarterback that needs to be protected. And it was good because they didn't put a Band-Aid. They cut people. They cut Anthony Collins, who was I think we might have talked about this. He was just like a year into his contract. So they said, screw it. They got rid of him. They reinvested in the offensive line. Remember, we talked about this similar bill. They drafted Donovan Smith and Ollie Marpet as offensive linemen that they're hoping that could come in there and fill the void. They have their three veterans, which is good, which I think is a nice mix. They have Logan Mankins, which everybody knows and loves, the former Patriot, Evan Smith, and DeMar Dotson. And then you add Dirk Cutter and a new offense. So, similar bill, in your opinion, I think that is a I think it's a good mix, but do you, that you have three veterans, you try to mix in three rookies, and then you have, two rookies, and then a rookie quarterback. But I think that it's a nice mix.
Yeah, it's a good starting point. I mean, you know, just like in Jameis' career here, he had the benefit of having a good offensive line that allowed him to utilize his talent. And, you know, Jameis is not going to be, a Marcus Mariota running quarterback in the NFL. He's going to have to be the pocket passer that he showed he could be here at FSU, plus. And he's very good with keeping his eyes downfield to find receivers. As long as you've got someone out in front, keeping guys, you know, off of him for a little bit of time, he's going to make you pay if you don't cover. So, if they get a good base of guys and they can work on some other folks and build that line with him right now, then over the next few years you'll see him be very, very successful as a pro quarterback.
And you mentioned this, and I did too just now, is that it is Dirk Cutter, the new offensive coordinator, is fantastic. I mean, he led a potent attack in Atlanta. I mean, he likes to throw the football, but he likes to light it up. He likes to be creative and everything. And I think that he's going to be valuable when it comes, obviously, with Winston, but also with the offensive line, to get them in the right places and get them off on the right foot. So I think that's at least to me, that's the second biggest storyline, similar bill, coming into the camp right now.
Yeah, very, very solid. That's important. You get that, and plus with the receivers that he does have, on the team, you got a chance there to really do some damage this year compared to last.
Now, another storyline, I know once again, as always, we're running out of time, but another storyline, and hopefully we have enough time to talk about it, is the running back situation. Because with, obviously with a rookie quarterback, you want to be able to run the ball. That's why people are so high on Teddy Bridgewater this year, is because he was doing all kinds of stuff last year in Minnesota without a running game. Now he gets Adrian Peterson, they're thinking now he can really grow because some of the pressure's off of him. So 3 years ago, Doug Martin was a superstar. He was a rookie out of Boise State.
Right.
And he was doing great. I think he ran for over 1,400 yards, Seminole Bill. And then he also caught, I think, 300 or 400 yards out of the backfield. So he was fantastic. The last 2 years, he's rushed for like 950 yards, so he's been awful. He's been injured, but, of course, the offensive line has been terrible. If Martin can get back to just remotely where he was in his first NFL season back in 2012, if he can go out there and offensive line gels and he can say he rushes for 1,000 yards, can you imagine what that's going to do for Jameis Winston to be able to to hit those wide receivers to take the pressure off? How vital, in your opinion, do you feel it is that the running game clicks at a decent level? It doesn't have to be great, but at least a decent level. How important is that?
That's an 8 out of 10. You need that. You've got to have balance. I mean, you can be a great quarterback and you can, you know, put the team on your back. But again, Jameis is not going to be a guy that can run. You know, he doesn't need to be running around out there as big as he is. He don't need to be running around out there trying to do some things he even did here at FSU. He's not going to be Marcus Mariota where you sprint him out around the end to you know, open up passing lanes. He's got to be a pocket passer that can move through the pocket, keep his eyes open downfield, hit the tight end if something downfield's not there. He should have a good array of receivers, but the running game is a key. They cannot just key on him throwing the ball. They have to be able to respect the running game. If you get that going, if these guys, you know, produce to the level that they have, when they were, you know, doing it in you know, past years when they were doing it well, like you mentioned, the kid out of Boise State, that would be huge. Because I also got to believe that what this new coach will do and what you saw him do with Atlanta, the new coordinator, is will integrate some real good stuff for the running backs if they can handle stuff out of the backfield. You know, so that will help Jameis as well, just getting some good, you know, quick passes out to the running backs, some swing passes, maybe some dump screens, whatever you want to do. But
that's how you get into a rhythm, right?
Right. Get a rhythm. Right. Feel comfortable. Not get hit every play. That's going to be a big confidence builder for Jameis. Once he gets that, he'll be fine.
Because you know what though, you mentioned something that it's funny. You mentioned it without mentioning it, and I know that sounds silly, but you said, yeah, it's not like you're going to spread Marcus Mariota out and run that type of all that. But guess what? What you're saying, I'm reading between the lines, some of the bill, is that we want Winston to play 16 games. You don't need him getting banged up and getting knocked out for the season or coming down with some kind of injury at game 8 because he's back there running for his life or he's doing stupid things like that. When you said he has to be a pocket passer, he needs to be a pocket passer so he can last all 16 games and get all that experience and see what he really is. So I agree. That's a really good point. Chairman of Sarah, do we have time for one more storyline?
Is he there?
Probably not.
Okay, all right, we got to go to break, Seminole Bill, but next week, folks, on the Bucs Report, we'll get into about three other storylines that Seminole Bill and I feel are very important for the upcoming season, and we'll be one more week in training camp, so we'll have more reports coming out of Buccaneer camp from our spies down there, including ourselves. So it's good. We're on the Bucs Report every single week. Make sure you tune in to that. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our fitness tip, our entertainment segment, and our water check. All that next on the Mark Lloyd Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep,
no cost, as long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero, because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Welcome back to the Mark Lord Show, segment number 4. We're down the home stretch. And as always, we'd like to thank everybody that tunes in each and every week to the Mark Lord Show on Freedom 93 from 8 to 9 a.m. We know it's early in the morning, but similar to Bill, we kind of feel we have a duty to get everybody up and ready to go and get them in the right mood to have a fantastic Saturday, right?
Of course, and, you know, especially with ball coming back pretty soon, you're going to be up anyway getting ready for those tailgates and all that other stuff, so you might as well tune in and join us from 8 to 9 so we get you right for the rest of the day.
That's right. Would you listen to us from 8 to 9, then you're going to have College Game Day. It comes on at 10, I think, probably, or who knows how early it comes on. And that's going to be for the first time in 25 years, or since it started, without Chris Fowler as the man.
That's
Lee Davis takes over. Yeah, it is kind of wild. It's kind of sad, too. All right, similar to Bill. Also, we talked briefly because the McCullough Fun Test was this past week, and obviously how everything went there. And also, when I mention that, the first thing I think of is our water check, knowing that you guys were out in the sun out there at the McCullough Fun Fest. And my question is, remember, we're in a 24-hour period. So from right now in the morning, back up 24 hours, and that's our water total. We got to be clear on that. So I'm at 84 ounces, so I'm crushing it already. I'm doing, and I'm well on my way in that 24-hour period to get to about 120 ounces. So I'm at 84 ounces right now. So I'm going to go, what are you at?
Oh, man, I thought I had you. 72.
72? That's solid, though. That's very impressive. Tell me this, Eric.
I have not started.
What?
Yeah, that's sort of what? The lawnmower?
I might need to
drink water
today, but drinking water.
You have
what
not
did
started.
You, I saw you drinking something yesterday. What was it?
You were at the Pepsi Challenge place, right?
No, he wasn't at the Pepsi Challenge.
I'm confused. Are we talking about right now, or are we talking about yesterday?
We're talking in your cycle.
I'm talking, the 24-hour cycle. When you woke up yesterday morning, Friday morning at 8 a.m., and now 24 hours later, where are you at, my friend?
Oh, now 24 hours later, I drank a gallon. Do you know how I did that?
I don't know. Uh-oh. How
okay, so I got a old, like, gallon of water. Well, not an old. That sounds disgusting.
I know.
I got a
I
gallon of water container.
Okay.
And I got a permanent marker, and I made, like, levels. And I put at the very top, I put 7 a.m., and then I put 9 a.m., then I put 11, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, until I got to the bottom.
Well, that's really smart, man.
You drank a gallon of water already?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Good job, brother.
Wow.
Get it up for him, Silverville. Come on.
Yeah, that was actually good. I'm surprised. I saw.
I like that.
I wonder what that was he was doing over there. I was trying to figure that out myself.
I like that creativity with the marks on the gallon jug. Very good. Hey, there's inspiration right there. That's a great segue, Terminus Eric, to our fitness tip. Because what you did was you set goals, and that's our fitness tip this week, is what Terminus Eric did when it came to drinking water is you set a goal. He got a gallon jug, and he marked it at 7 a.m., my goal is to be here. 9 a.m., my goal is to be here. So, similar, Bill, I think it's really important that you start off any kind of fitness. It's just to set simple goals and then progress, to a longer range goals. Because it's important to make your goals realistic and achievable. Because it's so easy to get frustrated and give up on your goals if they're too ambitious, let's say. So, for example, if you haven't exercised in a while, make a short-term goal that I'm going to walk 10 minutes a day, 3 times a week. Intermediate goal, you could do walk 30 minutes, 5 days a week. And a long-term goal might be do a 5K walk. Yeah, you know, something like that. So I think you have to set goals and make them realistic. You got that, similar, Bill?
I'm with you on that, Mark.
Good deal. All right. Now we're on to our entertainment segment. We're running out of time already. Yesterday was, I think it was your third, we'll call it Fun Fest.
Yes.
And it continues to, I guess the train continues to roll. And it was a little different this past week because it went from, what was it, 4 to 8 you guys had to be there?
Yeah, we moved it down and you know, you know how it is this time of year. You know, you've got your heat and your weather and all that working with you and against you sometimes, but it held up and the good thing is now we're set up to where we want to be going into the fall with everything that's coming, and we always said, sure, we wanted this to be a nice compact event from 4 to 8, and that's what we've got. So thanks for everybody that came by, and you know, to the vendors and all that participated, really appreciate Keith Lawson doing their thing with the chill zone all the time. And man, that's the coolest thing ever. It really is. And I can't wait when you come up. We're going to get you chilled down in the Arctic cool zone with Keith Lawson and in the VIP tent. You'll have a good time with that.
You know what? I know I will. I'm looking, I'll be up there for some football games. So I'm looking forward to coming up there and experiencing the Wakulla Fun Fest for myself. Real quick, the next one is Winston-Mobile. What is the date? Do you have a date yet or no?
Yes, we do. That's going to be your next Wakulla Fun Fest will be Friday, of course, and that will be the 14th.
The 14th of August.
Correct.
Friday, the 14th of August, is the next Wakulla Fun Fest at Hudson Park, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. All right, this week, Simonville and Terminus Eric, first of all, Terminus Eric, you see all the different trailers that are out right now for Fear of the Walking Dead?
Oh, man. I don't even know where to start. It feels like forever since I've watched The Walking Dead, but I am excited. Have you seen have you heard the rumors about Tara, however you say her name?
Tara. Who's that?
The girl. Crap.
Oh, thanks.
The one that was stuck with Glenn for the while he was looking for Maggie.
The one that was she's a lesbian.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, what about her? Oh, that she's pregnant.
Life. So I'm curious. Yeah, and I'm curious how they're gonna
spin that.
guess what though? Hey, let me tell you something. The one chick that she's still around. She's the one that loves to kill and shoot everything now.
Right.
She was the black girl with I can't even think of her name. But she was pregnant during last. Not Michonne. The other one. Her real name's like Samequa Green or it's been so long ago I can't remember all their names right now. But she was pregnant during last year, and they hid it the whole time. How about that?
They did pretty good.
Yeah, so, I mean, with these clothes, I mean, they could figure it out, trust me. They'll be able to figure it out. And let me tell you something else. Trust me, they knew about this, because that chick, Tara, did not go ahead. Lucy Tebow is her name, right? That's her name in real life. Lucy something like that. I guarantee she had a... She had a conversation with the writers and the executive producers. She didn't spring this on them and say, by the way, you have to do this, because she's not that powerful. They would have lost their mind. So if I had to ask, can I get a haircut when I was with World Wrestling Entertainment? she's asking, can she get pregnant? And what can we do about it? I believe me. So, yeah, but the Fear of the Walking Dead looks, and there's now, even on Instagram, there's trailers for Fear of the Walking Dead, which is really cool. And I'm so pumped. That comes out in 2 weeks, August 13th, I think is when it, I think so. I think August 13th is the first episode, which could be on a Thursday night. Is it going to air on a Thursday? Is that going to air on a Sunday? Terminus. Look that up really quick. Oh, we got to get out of here somewhere, Bill. Darn it. Well,
I think we got about 1 minute left.
Okay, we have about 1 minute. Look that up real quick. When does Fear of the Walking Dead debut? And during this time also, I'm going to see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation this weekend. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, it looks really good.
August,
I like Tom
August
Cruise.
23rd.
August that sounds
23rd. Better. Is that a Sunday?
That is a Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, that's a Sunday. Okay, all right. So I'm very excited. August 23rd. So Walking Dead comes back on October 11th, Terminus. So it's only going to run for, it's not going to run, it's not going to overlap. I wonder if they're only going to do, give us like six episodes. Like,
you guys are so excited, you can't stop.
All right, I think the show is about to be over.
Yeah, okay, we got to go. For Summit of Bill and Summit of Tech, I'm Mark Lloyd. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll talk to you next week right here on Freedom 93, the home of the Buccaneers, 8-9. It's the Mark Lloyd Show. Take care, everybody.